thank you for your church. We thank you for the ministrations of today. We thank you for the blessings that have emanated from it. We ask, O Lord, that these blessings will be abiding in every life in Jesus' name. It's not going to be a temporary experience. The joy that you, the Lord God, has sown in our hearts today will be our daily experience in Jesus' name. Father, even as the song that has been sung by the choir says, our hearts are open to your words because we know that therein lies our blessings and our testimony. Even as we open our hearts to your word, bless us today, O Lord. I say, bless us today, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, such that we will never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm here to get the basket. I also want to give towards his ministry. Oh, yes, because I want to be blessed too. So please, can you bring the basket? Let me give my own. We are going to be talking about serving to the point of reward. Praise the Lord. We are going to be talking about serving God to the point of reward. Because the Bible tells us that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I want to believe that you and I, the reason we come to church is because we want to serve God to the point that we'll get some reward from God. I know we've been receiving rewards, but let me tell you something, it can be a continuous experience. Not only a continuous experience, what we have experienced so far will be very, very little compared to the great things that God can do in our lives. I'm well aware of the time, and so I will just quickly go through some of the things, you know, as quickly as we can without taking too much of our time. And once again, I just want to thank us for, like I said, holding forth and for all your prayers. You see, when I went home, it was not only Rachel's wedding that we had to do in the family. We did a remembrance service for my dad, who died 35 years ago. And I'm sure some of us will be wondering, why would you do that? You know, we do have, I'll call this almost a tradition for Christians where I come from, that when a Christian dies, apart from laying him to rest in the grave, we also celebrate the life of that Christian, which we have never been able to do, you know. And the family has been putting it forward and somehow shifting it. And finally, we decided that, well, given that Rachel will be coming home and the wedding will be taking place and most of the members of the family will be there, we could as well, you know, do it. And there I learned something. When you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 3, that was one of the things I learned from there. Before I would just call it a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of effort, until somebody drew my attention to that particular area. And I'm sure that it is our desire that as we get older and pass through this place and go, that our children will come behind us and they will celebrate our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, there are some people that when they die, you cannot celebrate because their testimony has been destroyed or because something disastrous happened and you dare not remember them again. Ecclesiastes 6:3 says, if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no barrier, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. You know, your children will live after you and they will celebrate you in Jesus' name. And then the other thing we did in the family was that we celebrated my mother's 80th birthday. So we just thought it was an opportunity. So it was so many things happening together. And thank God that God saw us through, you know. Praise God. I told us I'm going to be talking to us about serving God to the point of reward. And this has been laid in my heart because of some of the things we see around us as children of God. We seem to forget the kind of race that we have been called into. Because the race that God has called us into is a long-term race. And a lot of times, it's usually immediate things that destroy the testimony of many people. It's usually things that if you wait for 5, 10 minutes, 5 days, 1 week, 1 month, in fact, 3 months, 1 year, if they were patient enough, that God would simply have resolved at his own time. Those are the kind of things that tends to destroy the testimony of the people of God. We've forgotten that we are long-term partners with God. And I believe that this morning, God will open our eyes to some of the fundamental things that will make a difference in our lives and will ensure that our testimony endures for as long as we live in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you quickly open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah? Open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, and that is chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah 31. I'm going to read from verse 15 to 17. Like I told us, I will try to be as quick as possible without taking too much of our time. So, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, which is Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus said the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in the end. Is somebody hearing this? And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that the children shall come, that thy children shall come again to thy own border. I don't think it was an accident that one of the songs that was rendered by Pastor Harold has to do with wiping away tears and restoring joy to the people of God. He did not discuss the song he was going to sing with me before I took this passage, or before God led me to this passage. And many of us will remember the story of Rachel. Rachel was one woman that having children was so dear to. And what happened to her? She actually died in childbirth, right? That was how she ended it. And to an ordinary person, when we look at the way Rachel ended at that time, you would think that everything had ended for her. You would think that her hope had not been realized. But here she is, years after she's dead. And God is calling to remembrance his promise for the children of Rachel. And that is why I'm telling her that the kind of partnership we have with God is a long-term partnership. It is not just an immediate partnership. Many of us are consumed by immediate things, immediate needs, immediate cares of this world. And we forget that the plan of God for our lives goes beyond our own existence. The plan of God for you and I is such that when we fulfill our call in him, whatever he's going to do with us will live beyond us. So it's a long-term partnership. And there is no gainsaying the fact that when we put this in perspective, we will need to watch out and make sure that the things of immediate values don't destroy things of eternal values. And God remembered Rachel long after she was gone and said concerning her children that he was ready to wipe away their tears. He said, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. That is, every effort you put in right now, everything you sow in the vineyard of God, everything you do as you go out in obedience to God, God is saying he is going to reward you. We are the one who keep watch on our clocks and our watches. And 5 minutes means 5 minutes, and we are so uptight about it. If it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, it means it will never happen again. But to God, that is not the way he looks at his dealings with us. Particularly when we have a strong and intimate relationship with him. The kind of things he puts into us, the kind of things he wants to get out of us, is such that they will count towards eternity. You know what? Every farmer who plants with a view that the seed will germinate. It will grow, it will bud, it will bring forth fruits. And so is God. When he plants in you, he's expecting that it's going to germinate, it's going to bring forth, and that the kingdom will be blessed by it. It's up to us how we make use of that which God has deposited in us. And Jesus said that everyone who loses family, house, relatives, and whatever we lose in time, in strength, in money for the kingdom, he says he has a way of rewarding us, not just on earth, not just in heaven, but here on earth too. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Bible says that God cares about our welfare. You know, King James Version actually talks about taking us to the expected end, but another version talks about our welfare. That God cares about our welfare. He cares about your welfare right here on earth. And he cares about your eternity too. And that is why we need to keep these things in perspective. But to get to our promised land, certain things have to be in place. And I've always said these things. I said one of the things that is lacking the most with us Christians today is patience. That is one of the biggest things we are missing in our walk with God. And I'm not going to go into details on that. But the other thing that I want to talk to us about is this. If we are going to serve him to the point of reward, is that we need to carry an identity card of consecration. Identity card of consecration. This identity card of consecration will do many things in our lives. In fact, this identity card of consecration is our assurance of victory. It is the one that gives us the assurance of victory. This morning we were told that shalom does not just mean peace. It means that God will push his foot down the neck of your enemy. In other words, every force that is arrayed against you will come into total silence. That's what it means to walk in victory. And if we are going to walk in victory, we need to carry an identity card of consecration to the Lord. Remember the passage that I read to us this morning from Exodus as we were praying. And God was telling the children of Israel that he was going to distinguish them How was he going to distinguish them? He said, after they have obeyed his law and kept his commandment, he will do what? He said, and all these diseases that are brought upon the Egyptians will not be your lot, will not be your portion. I am going to separate you from the people of the world. And the only thing that can separate us from the people of the world is the identity of consecration to the Lord himself. Is the identity of separation to the Lord. And then we can walk in victory. Let's quickly look at somewhere in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. I learned this recently. And God has sort of expanded this thing in my heart. And I want to share it with you this morning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. So that we, you see, why we need to be consecrated to the Lord will become obvious to us today. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Can you read the last part with me? And dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. That was what God said to the serpent after he's made man to go astray. And the Bible said, out of the dust of the ground made who? Made he man. In other words, so when you look at it, what is made of dust is what? It's dust. So man is essentially dust. Isn't it? That's what the Bible said. And that's why the Bible says the man will return back to dust. And the Bible says that the dust is what the enemy will eat. So in other words, something has to happen to you and I if we are going to lead victoriously and we are not going to be meat for the enemy. There has to be a transformation and a translation. There has to be a change. So we have to go from being dust to something else that the enemy cannot eat. And it is this identity card of consecration that will change your life forever and make you a no-go area for the enemy. And you will live a victorious life. I say you will live a victorious life in the mighty name of Jesus. And do you know that a lot of people remain as dust? And so they are within the hunting zone of the enemy. Anyone who is not in Jesus Christ remains within the hunting zone of the enemy. And so he can panel beat them. He can push them. He can destroy them. Every home that is not within the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ is within the hunting range of the enemy. Everything you have not committed to the hand of the Lord remains within the hunting zone of the enemy. God will open our eyes. I say God will open our eyes. And you know something that tends to go, that seems to be very common among us Christians, is that even when the Lord is calling us to live on the mountaintop, we often delight in living in the valley areas. How do we do it? It is by our confession. Isn't it? It is by our confession. You know, when we do something, we know where God wants us to be. And sometimes when we make a mistake and do what we are not supposed to do, we just simply say, you know, oh yes, I'm still a man of flesh. I'm still this, I'm still that. Instead of asking God for grace to mount up with wings and go and move higher. What we do by that is to reduce ourselves to the level of the flesh and of the dust, keeping ourselves perpetually within the hunting zone of the enemy. I pray God will open our eyes to see who we are in him, and therefore live accordingly and live in victory in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, let me tell you something. We often leave the big pictures, chasing the little things. When we realize where God has placed us, we will not bother ourselves with the little things of this world anymore. And I'm telling us, particularly among Christians, particularly amongst us, amongst ourselves, the Bible says, do good to all men, particularly those of the household of faith. A lot of Christian brothers are disadvantaged because they know another Christian brother. And that is because of petty things. And I keep telling people, I say, look, you will never be disadvantaged because you know me. He said, do good to what? To all men, especially those of the household of faith. In other words, when everyone is qualified, everyone, you have the same result, you come to me, and you are a Christian, that is an extra qualification for you to receive favor from me. But that is not the way we live our lives, is it? Because of little things. And you know what happens? It reduces us to the level of the dust. No wonder the enemy comes in and he strikes and we are helpless. He comes in and he does whatever he likes and we are helpless against him, because we have not elevated ourselves above him. And he has a way of keeping us perpetually at that level. Because he knows as long as we don't realize who we are in Jesus Christ, he will be able to push us and hit us and do all sorts of things with our lives. But today, freedom has come. I said today, freedom has come in the mighty name of Jesus. Like I was saying, I said, look, it should be an advantage that you know me as a child of God. And I tell people, I said, look, the person who is most likely to offend you is the person who is closest to you. Isn't it? Who do you have most dialogue with? Let me not call it argument. Who do you have most dialogue with? Your wife is most likely. Because that's the person you see every day. That's the person you sleep with, you wake up with, and do everything with. And then the next people will be the members of your family. And the next group of people will be people in the church, isn't it? Because we see each other every week. We mix together and do things. And you know what happens is this. Sometimes we allow these things to fester on and on and on, and the enemy will begin to deprive us of things that rightly belongs to us. There's only one area, or just a few areas, where the Bible allows us to try to strive and outdo each other. It's in the area of love, the area of giving, the area of caring. That's where we should seek to outdo each other in giving, in loving, in caring for each other. That's where God expects us to try to outdo each other. If you think you can love this person, I will love that person. If you think you can love me, I will love you in return, so, you know, that I will outdo you. But unfortunately, a lot of times, those are not the areas where we strive to excel. You are going to excel in the things of God from today in the mighty name of Jesus. I was looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And I looked at the things that God did in the midst of the people of God. The people we are supposed to be following. God did great and mighty things in their midst because there was a certain condition that was prevailing in the midst of the people of God at that time. Oftentimes we talk about miracles as if it's history. And that is simply because we don't live like those in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. When we live like them, we begin to see the kind of result they saw at that time. And sometimes we simply apply worldly principles to solve problems. And as long as we do that, the enemy keeps us under. We cannot live a victorious life. I know that our time is gone. And that's why I'm quickly going through some of these things. An area that many Christians like to refer to is Romans chapter 7. You know, Paul was talking about how he was vacillating, the kind of things that will come, you know, the way the flesh will want to war against the spirit in him. And we want to perpetually live in that kind of situation in our lives. But a lot of people forget Romans chapter 8, verse 1. At the end of everything, Paul now said, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Who walk not after what? After the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We forget the later part. That there is no condemnation to them who do what? Who walk after the Spirit. And what I'm calling us to do this morning is that we want to start to walk after the Spirit more than ever before. You know, Christians like to talk about practical things. Practical, you know, we want to talk about practical things. I want to tell you that the practicalities of your life is in the Spirit of God. Because the solution for your life situation is there in him. Let's quickly read John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 before we close. There's more to it, but I will close reading this. I mean, just going through this. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says something there that I want you to take note of. He says, Jesus answered. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what I really want you to take note of is verse 6. Please take note of verse 6 especially. See, that which is born of the flesh is what? That which is born of the flesh is? And that which is born of the Spirit is? Praise the Lord. When God called Satan and said he was going to eat dust, did he say he was going to eat spirit? He was going to eat dust. So every child of God that's going to live a victorious life has to undergo a transformation from being flesh to spirit. And that is the only way we can live victorious lives. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is only when we operate in the spiritual realm almost all the days of our lives, every time we can live in victory. But as long as we reduce ourselves to the level of the flesh, let me tell you something, this man will have a field day. You will not have a field day in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The devil cannot consume spirit. Especially when you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Especially when you are led by the Spirit of God. Especially when you are moved by the Spirit of God. Especially when you operate under the guidance of the Spirit of God. Especially when you yourself has been converted to the Spirit of Jesus. It's because he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A lot of people have been born again, but the transformation has not taken place. As we are doing Sunday school, I just stumbled at a particular passage in the Bible. And he was talking about the children of Israel. And he said, the people feared God. Listen to this. He said, the people feared God. He said, but they raised altars. Even though they feared God, they did what? They raised altars. So it's possible to be calling the name of Jesus, fear God, but be raising other altars. And when you do that, you come under the hidden zone of the enemy. But when you realize that you are a spirit, everything about you is out of range for the enemy. Your finances, your job, your marriage, your children, your going out, your coming in, you know. As I travel this time around, I've never been, you know, this is one time that I've been so much under the attack of the enemy. Before I left, you know what I mean. When you are going back to Africa, particularly where we come from, a lot of thoughts just came, started coming to my mind as the kind of things that's possibly going to happen. Until at a point in time, I came to the realization of myself. I said, me? I am supposed to be the one who will walk, and every kind of spirit will bow before me everywhere I go. I said, this cannot be. Why will I be afraid? Why will I be fearful? Until I took authority, until I came to a realization that this is who I am in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I received peace. And I told my wife, I went everywhere. I did everything that I wanted to do, and the glory of God was with me. Time will not permit me to give a testimony of some of the things that God did. But remember that God told us at the beginning of the year that this year we are going to pursue, we are going to overtake, and we are going to recover. It's not something we can do in flesh. It's something we are going to do with the Spirit of God. Every area of your life where you think you have been lagging behind, this is the time that you are going to recover in the mighty name of Jesus. This identity of consecration will mark you out for favor. You know what? Esther was probably not the most beautiful queen at that time. You know what made the difference? He told the people in Esther chapter 4, verse 15, he said, pray and fast for me. I myself will do what? I will pray and fast before I go unto the king. In other words, she consecrated herself. And when she got there, that identity of consecration marked her out for a difference. The Lord will mark you out for a difference this year. So that wherever you go, the value that God has placed on your life is what people will see. Not the value of the words of men. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because this is what will ensure that God will be on our side this year. He said the righteous man will be like the plant that is planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its due season. When he marks you for a difference, when God is on your side, he's going to be the water that will water you, and you'll bring forth your fruits in your due season this year in the mighty name of Jesus. At another time, I will tell us what it entails, this identity of consecration. It entails a few things. I'll just read them, but I will not go into them. Salvation, of course. It entails salvation. John 3:3-6. Delighting in the law of the Lord. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. And it also follows that we work hard to please him through what? Obedience. And of course, we will love his name enough to tell others about him. Go and look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. And of course, lastly, as we were told earlier on also, it's a woe unto him who puts his trust in man. But blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. But as for us, we will trust in the name of our God. People who put their trust in the Lord, they are the people who will set aside to be blessed. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Paul was writing, he said, "For the mark of Christ is upon me. Let no man trouble me anymore." That is the identity of consecration, the mark of Christ. When it is upon you, no man can trouble you anymore. No situation can trouble you anymore. Weeping cannot be your story anymore. Because God is set to wipe away every tears and to bring hope to your life. Can you just ask God today and say, "Father, make my identity of consecration plain before men. Make my identity of consecration plain before every situation. Make my identity of consecration plain before every adversary. Make my identity of consecration plain before everything that will come unto me this year. Every situation I'm going to face, everything I'm going to encounter, make my identity of consecration plain before them in the mighty name of Jesus. Because therein lies your victory. Therein lies your favor this year. Therein lies your success this year. Therein lies your breakthrough this year." That identity of consecration. That identity of consecration. Everyone who identify with the Lord this year, the Lord has said to you to pursue. That you are going to overtake and you are going to recover this year. This is your year of blessing. This is your year of progress. This is your year of promotion. And I can tell you, all that is important is your identity of consecration. Carry it before your situation. Carry it before the people you are going to meet. Carry it wherever you go this year. And you will see the Lord doing wonders in your life. Ask God to make your identity of consecration plain before men. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that which you have done today. We thank you for that which you have told us. Because we are going to walk in victory. We are not within the edible zone of the enemy. We are in the poisonous zone for the enemy. We are not meat for foxes. We are alive in Jesus Christ. Because that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We operate in the Spirit of God this year. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We walk into our victory as we live here. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.